Talk and Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Well, good morning. And welcome to Talk and Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, August 7th already. Oh, my goodness. Summer is just zooming by. Pour yourself another cup of coffee, and let's kick off this Sunday Talking Golf. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Ivy Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive IceFill cooling technology along with SPF 50-plus sun protection. Visit IBKUL.com to learn more. IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. IB Cool offers multifunctional, intelligent, the exclusive moisture sensor fabric featuring the IceFill technology that cools your body so you can stay comfortable and odor-free on hot and humid days. That's IBKUL.com. Wow. Hope you're having a great weekend so far playing the game you love. And first, I just want to look back on the past week. I mean, the sports world lost two huge icons, the great Bill Russell and the incomparable Vin Scully. And first, Bill Russell. I remember interviewing Bill Russell years ago and actually got up on a chair to interview the guy. He was so tall. And, you know, Wilt Chamberlain was more outgoing and just a very different kind of personality. And Wilt came on my sports interview cable show back in the 90s. And this show aired for 17 years on Regional Sports Cable Network. Some of you may remember it. It started in 1989, and the show aired every week until about, 2008. But I just had a really interesting interview with Wilt Chamberlain back then, and I asked Wilt Chamberlain who was the best center in the game, he or Bill Russell, and here is a clip from my sports interview show of Wilt talking about that.
I think that he was pitted against me unfairly for both of us. You're saying we were different type of basketball players, even though we played the same sport in the same position. I think that maybe some people in the world want to see us butt heads and one of us to fall. I picked him as the number one center of all time as far as I'm concerned because he was a complete basketball player.
Over you?
Well, you know, yeah, I'm gonna pick him over me right
really?
Now. Yeah, because he also helped his team to win a lot more than maybe I could have helped my team to win.
Well, that's what Bob Cousy said when quoted as talking about the differences between you and Bill Russell. He said you might have outscored, out-assisted, out-rebounded.
Yeah.
But Russell made the other guys better.
Yeah, right,
he wasn't as individualistic as.
Well, and sometimes the mere power of you makes you more individualistic. I have said this before. Wilt Chamberlain, the Boston Celtics, might not have been the same. Because I would have taken away from Bob Cousy, from Tom Heinsohn, because I was a scorer too. And then all of a sudden, now they had to pass the ball to me. And they would take something away from them. So, you know, sometimes less is better. You know, so that's how I view it. But I'm talking about the fact that the man could score. He averaged 17 points a game, which is only about 7 points less than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, he was the supreme rebounder. He got the ball for his team, which made it happen. He's high in assists, and we all know how he played defense. You can't ask for any more from that position. So he's my choice.
You're gonna take a back seat to Bill.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, I'm gonna take seat right now. I mean, for you right now, I'm gonna take a back seat. You know, I may feel a little different maybe tomorrow.
Wilt Chamberlain, boy, I love going back and just watching those interviews. Gosh, that show was started in 1989 and went, for a while. But anyway, a lot of these TV interviews I was able to get on my website. So you can actually go to AnnLiguori.com to view some of these interviews that I did back then, these TV interviews in the sports interview TV section on my website. But rest in peace, Bill Russell. What a force in the game, and also as a civil rights activist. And Vin Scully, what a voice. I mean, the very best and as classy and elegant a man as you will ever meet. And you know, I was reading up on his life, and he was 8 years old when he wrote in an essay in school that he wanted to be a sports broadcaster. He was listening to the Brooklyn Dodgers on the radio, you know, from a very early age, and listening to the great Red Barber. And he spent 67 of his broadcasting years calling games for the Dodgers, and Red Barber called Vin Scully, the son he never met. Red was a mentor to Vin. And Scully started announcing for the Dodgers when he was only 23. He was the youngest to broadcast a World Series game. And this article on PGAtour.com went into, you know, his golf career, which we'll get to in a second. But when Vin Scully was asked what he learned from Red Barber in those early days, Scully mentioned two things, according to this article by Lowry Livesey in PGAtour.com. Barber told Vin Scully, "You should have the attitude of a reporter, not a fan. You're not there to have a good time. You're there to work, not to clown with the guys in the batting cage." And he said, "Above everything else, the people have to believe you. If there is the slightest doubt about your accuracy and fairness, you aren't doing it right." So great advice from Red Barber to Vin Scully. And boy, he called 19 no-hitters in his baseball broadcasting career, 14 of those by the Dodgers. He called the 1982 NFC Championship game for CBS. He called Bill Buckner's error in the Mets Game 6 come-from-behind win against the Red Sox in 86 in the 86 World Series. He called Kurt Gibson's game-winning home run in the opening game of the 88 World Series. And as I mentioned, he called golf for CBS and NBC. His first year at CBS, he was the network voice of the Masters. So let's listen to Vin Scully talking golf from a compilation PGA Tour put together.
Pull up a chair, make yourself comfortable, and enjoy the proceedings here. Very happy St. Patrick's Day to you, wherever you may be. I'm Vin Scully, the whiz from Joplin, Missouri, and the University of Colorado, Hale Irwin. Two thoughts for sure. One, the men who are playing in this tournament are fortunate indeed. And the other, the men who are covering it for CBS are blessed by life as well. Now the big swing from Isao Aoki. Hard pitching wedge.
Hard pitching wedge.
Right in line with the play.
Oh, and it's a beauty.
That's it. In the hole.
No.
And Jack Renner keeps his head down.
Oh. I can't believe it.
It's impossible.
The young man who used to hunt sharks, they tell me, off the Great Barrier Reef, ready for a second shot on the 15th.
And I'm sure you've seen a lot of his father, a marvelous actor, Richard Jekyll, who probably died more times in World War II movies than any other actor in Hollywood. Fourth shot. And you're too old to laugh or cry, but he took the laugh.
Only two things will rise from the ashes of Sawgrass in 79, a phoenix and Lanny Watkins.
Wow, Vin Scully, what a voice. And Bill Russell, rest in peace. And thanks, Brian Riscona, for pulling those cuts. I really appreciate it. All right, let's move on to the Women's Open Championship taking place at Muirfield in Scotland. You know, as recent as 2018, women were not even allowed to be members there. They voted on this issue in 2017, and they did not actually get a two-thirds majority vote from the members back then. And the Royal and Ancient then came in and said, "Hey, we are not going to let you host a championship for the men or women unless you have female members." So that lit a fire with the members. And 10 months later, they had a second vote, and 80.2% of the membership supported the proposal, enough for it to pass. So in 2019, the first women were admitted to Muirfield. And so then a year later, the RNA announced that Muirfield would return to hosting major championship golf. So this is like the first time in the club's 300-year history that the tradition of hosting men only has been broken. And so this week, the women are playing the Open Championship there for the very first time. And the leaderboard is an interesting one. A woman named Ashley Buhai of South Africa. She shot a 7-under-64 yesterday. She's 14-under. She has a 5-shot lead heading into the final round today. She is sitting on her first 54-hole lead in her out PGA career. She's 33 years old. This is her 221st start. And five shots behind are Hanako Shibuno and Inji Chun. She's looking for her first victory of her LPGA Tour career, Ashley Buhai. Great wind there yesterday. The wind gusts blowing 35 miles an hour. Buhai, she birdied the second hole. Then she made four straight birdies. Then she birdied 10 and 14. She chipped in from off the green for another birdie and 17. She ended up bogeying the last hole, but she still has this five-shot lead. So it will be interesting to see if she can close it out. And you have Malin Segstrom and Inbi Park. They're tied for fourth at 7-under. But, I mean, with a five-shot lead, well, you still have to close it out. A lot of nerves on the final round day. Well, Beth Ann Nichols, the senior writer for Golf Week, she's going to join us at around 7:40 this morning. You know, we'll talk about the Women's Open Championship. We'll talk about LIV Golf, too, and whether she thinks LIV Golf will go after the women's game. The LPGA commissioner said a couple weeks back that if LIV Golf comes a-calling, she will indeed take the call and see what they have to say. And she said, though, she'd have to share all the information with the players and the sponsors. It's definitely a team decision. And you know the latest with LIV Golf, 11 LIV Golf members, including Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau, they filed lawsuits against the PGA Tour. And Jay Monahan then sent a memo to tour members to address the situation and said, in quotes, "We have been preparing to protect our membership and contest this latest attempt to disrupt our tour, and you should be confident in the legal merits of our position." He said, fundamentally, these suspended players, who are now Saudi Golf League employees, have walked away from the tour and now want back in. So on, the U.S. District Court for California's Northern District in San Jose, California, they have scheduled an in-person hearing for the three players who have also filed for a temporary restraining order so that they can play in the FedEx Cup playoffs, which begin Thursday in Memphis. So you have Taylor Gooch, you have Hudson Swafford, and Matt Jones, who I think have to be there in person for this hearing. And it will be interesting. It's scheduled for 1 p.m. I think that's Pacific time. And we'll see what the judge will decide. They're certainly testing all these legal waters here. I mean, LIV Golf has to prove that the PGA Tour is a monopoly. And the PGA Tour has to prove that allowing the players back into the tournament compromises, you know, the business model of the PGA Tour, that the players went against the rules and their contracts to play outside of the PGA Tour, and now they want to come back and play. Interesting. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't know. I think the judge is probably going to let these guys play. But we also learned that Phil Mickelson was indeed suspended by the PGA Tour, and initially for 2 months for attempting to recruit players to join LIV Golf. And, many of us suspected that had been the case. But, you know, the tour never has to disclose this kind of information. And so this lack of transparency has been a huge issue for many, many years. The lawsuit claims that Phil Mickelson had appealed the suspension, but he was denied. Then in June, he applied to be reinstated, but he was again denied for violating the tour's policy when he played the first LIV Golf event. And then the second Phil Mickelson suspension was extended to March 2024 when Phil played in the second LIV Golf event. So he is suspended until March 2024, and we'll see what happens if it continues. I don't know, who knows? By then, there has to be something's going to come down by then between these two organizations. The lawsuit basically from Phil's side says that the PGA Tour has prevented him from getting endorsement deals and sponsorships and the opportunity for him to earn up to $10 million in that player impact program. And that's an annual program. And it's denying him the opportunity to earn FedEx Cup rankings and world rankings. I mean, it's just a mess. And look, I agree that the PGA Tour can't operate like a monopoly, But now there is so much animosity between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf that I can't envision a peaceful resolution. I mean, I can't see these two entities working together. But I definitely have a major problem that, you know, that Saudi Arabia is really wants to buy golf and control the game, and they have unlimited funds to do so. Well, you saw that Greg Norman said on Fox News that he confirmed that Tiger Woods rejected an offer of $700 to $800 million to join LIV Golf. And look, bottom line, Tiger is already a billionaire. And in my opinion, Tiger never played for the money. He played to win. He played to be the best ever in the game. To me, that was, you know, observing him and covering literally all his major titles. He played, you know, for history. And the money and lifestyle comes with all that. But I truly believe that legacy was the most important thing, is the most important thing to him. Much more so than money. And, you know, money can't buy Tiger. And good for Tiger that, you know, he turned LIV Golf down. His entire legacy would have changed. All right, quickly at the Wyndham Championship, the weather has just been a huge issue. They suspended play yesterday a couple times, and 74 players who have yet to complete the third round have to resume this morning at 7:30. And then they'll go into the final round with split tee times from approximately 10:15 to about 12:35. And Sungjae Im, the 2019 Rookie Player of the Year, and Brandon Wu, they're tied for the lead at 12 under through 11 holes. And then you have John Ah and Jaehyung Kim are only one shot back through 11 and 10 holes. So they have to go out there this morning and resume the third round. Five players within two shots of the lead are looking for their first PGA Tour victory. And, you know, this is the final tournament before the playoffs begin on Thursday in Memphis. And the top 125 on the FedEx Cup points list, they will be able to play in the three-event FedEx Cup playoffs. So you have 125 playing in Memphis. Then from there, it will be cut to 70 into the BMW Championship. And then from there, the top 30 players advance to the Tour Championship. So you have a bunch of guys playing today, this weekend, you know, who are trying to get in the top 125, players such as Max McGreevy. What a nice guy. I had the opportunity to play with Max McGreevy in a practice round at the BMW Charity Pro-Am in Greenville, South Carolina last year, and he needs to finish 46th or better to move inside the top 125. And his life could change if he can do that. And right now, he is tied for 12th, so he's looking good. But then you have a guy like, you know, Danny Willett. He won the Masters in 2016. He had to have finished 44th or better to move inside the top 125. Well, he didn't even make the cut this weekend. So a lot can happen with guys who are trying to get into that top 125. You know, a lot of them, their careers could completely change. All right, lots more to talk about, but coming up, we'll talk a bit about the golf apparel business with John O'Donnell, founder of Johnny O Apparel for Men and Boys. He is the brother of actor Chris O'Donnell. You remember Chris O'Donnell, Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, Son of a Woman, NCIS. Anyway, John has an interesting history in golf, and so when we come back, we're going to get to know him a little bit. And then at 7:40, we'll connect with Beth Ann Nichols of Golf Week to talk about the Women's Open and ask her opinion about how vulnerable the LPGA may be if LIV Golf decides to go after some of these, you know, top female players. All right. We will be back right after this. Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. And my guest is John O'Donnell, founder of Johnny O Apparel. John, welcome to Talking Golf.
Thank you for having me, Ann. It's great to be here.
Well, you know, we've known each other for a long time, since your days back at the Golf Channel. And I remember way back when you started talking about maybe starting your own apparel line. And Johnny O Apparel has been around since 2005. And wow, I'm so proud of your success.
Yeah, isn't it cool? I would have never expected how far we've come. But, you know, I have to attribute most of it to the great people that I've brought on the team over the years. But it's been fun to watch and fun to be a part of.
And why a clothing line? How did you come about that idea?
Yeah, as I tell people, I've never really been an apparel guy, and I don't know that I consider myself still an apparel guy. I come more from the marketing side of things, but you know, the idea came up in a kind of a serendipitous way. The whole impetus was, why isn't there kind of a Southern California version of kind of Polo Ralph Lauren, if you will? And I, it just happened to be that clothing was the vehicle, you know? And so I figured what would be an iconic logo for Southern California. And that would be, you know, a guy holding a surfboard, but instead of marrying that logo with, you know, the cliche surf apparel, I said, let's marry that more with traditional classic pieces. And there was that kind of explosion between these two worlds. And I think the timing was great and a lot of luck involved. And I think this whole stand-up paddle craze has kind of probably added to our appeal, because now everybody's a surfer, even though I think they're really just canoeing. So it's just a lot of, you know, dots connecting at the right time.
Are you a surfer? I know you as a golfer, but I'm not sure if I know
you. You know, I've tried to surf. I've done a fair amount of windsurfing, believe it or not, back in the day. Surfing, no, I'm not a surfer. I've tried it, but for me to try to, you know, position myself as a surfer would be an insult to surfers. I'm probably a 36 handicap surfer, so.
But you are a low digit handicap golfer, right? You played at UCLA, right?
I played 1 year as a walk-on at UCLA, and I still compete. I love to play. I love the game. It's introduced me to so many people and brought me to so many cool places around the world. And yeah, I play now as much as ever.
So you're one of seven kids. You grew up in Chicago, and your brother, people know as actor Chris O'Donnell, and he actually was on my Golf Channel show years ago. And you guys are good Midwestern guys, right? How did you end up in LA, John?
Yeah, now we've turned into lousy LA guys, but you know what? It's Chris has had a great run out here, and it's fun to have him around. And talk about a guy that loves the game. He plays as much or more than anybody, unless he's shooting his TV show there on CBS. So yeah, Chicago, and we moved out here. I still have siblings in Chicago and siblings in Connecticut and Boulder, Colorado. So we're all over the place, but we get to see each other often.
Well, I know Chris is involved somewhat in the clothing line, right? I mean, talk a little bit about the design and what people can expect when they look at
Yeah, Chris was one of my, you know, original investors and has stayed on board as an investor. And we've got a ton of family and friends involved. The line is really just it's cliche to say, but it really is a lifestyle brand. We pretty much can clothe men from footwear to pants to outerwear to pullovers to polos to button downs, swimsuits, whatever it might be. And it really is kind of a marriage between kind of East Coast, Midwest classic tradition and pageantry is a word I like to use, married to kind of this Southern California, a little more laid back culture. And we try to, you know, wiggle these two worlds together and come up with something that, you know, everybody can kind of agree on and enjoy. And I think we've, got a product team and a product leader, Chris Knott, who is just really a master at capturing this whole essence of who we are.
So when you and Chris O'Donnell, your brother, get out on the golf course, how do those matches turn up?
You know what? We have good matches. He's a good crafty player. I have to, you know, give him a few shots each side, but if I get him on a tight golf course, I feel pretty good about my chances. If we get on a wide open course, he can kind of let loose a little and he's going to have a better chance, but we have had some great matches over the years, and I'm sure hopefully we'll continue to have a lot more.
How often do you get to play with each other?
We'll play, we're going in so many different directions. He's got five kids. I got a little guy. He's working on his show. I'm working on Johnny O. There's travel, but we'll get out, once a month, maybe together. He's a different club than me in LA, but we cross paths and play, and we go on trips together once in a while. We just got back from a trip at Bandon Dunes a few weeks ago with all of the nephews and brother-in-laws and just a little family group of 16 guys, and it was a lot of fun.
I envision when you guys do anything, you do it in like packs of 16, right? With all the people in the family, right? Your siblings, the nephews, the nieces.
it's a big crew. My little guy, Jack, is the 24th grandchild. So by the time we have an older grandchild get married, you know, the wedding list starts immediately with about 38, you know, and then you have to go from there. So it's quite a party.
So your parents play golf, right?
Yeah. My mom and dad played golf ever since they were kids. My dad passed away, and my mom, she doesn't play much anymore. She's still very active, but she's kind of put the clubs away. But they were both nice players. And I have another brother who can hit it around and four sisters who can actually move it around. They don't play a lot, but they got it in their blood.
Well, I guess so. So talk about when you first started playing.
I started playing when my dad was transferred out to Los Angeles from Chicago back in the early 70s. And I started playing when I was about 7 years old, took some lessons from legendary golf pro Eddie, the little pro Marins, who I still see today on a fairly regular basis. And it was almost 50 years ago he gave me my first lesson. And now my little boy, Jack, has taken some lessons from him a half century later. So it's a pretty neat, talk about a full circle. It's crazy.
Wow, and little I just pro. Continued He's to a play. Legend.
Yeah, very much so.
And you're playing now and along with running this business. And I understand you even have a net on top of your office space in L.A. So that makes it fun to go to work.
Well, you say I'm running this business. I have to confess that I have we have a CEO and COOs and CFOs and a team that's really running the business. I got us kicked off, but Dave Gatto is our CEO, and he's pretty world class. So I just kind of fall in line and do what they tell me to do. We haven't been in the office much since this whole COVID thing, but we do have a little net up there that if you want to take a break and shag a few balls, you can shank a few and get rid of some, cobwebs.
Sounds like a fun work environment. You know, I was recently at Ridgewood Country Club in New Jersey, John, and boy, they have a whole section in their pro shop just for Johnny O apparel. And it's beautifully merchandised. So it looks like you guys are growing very quickly.
Well, a great sales team too. We have world-class salespeople. I mean, it's really a team of true professionals. I'm not kidding when I say many times I just get out of the way and let them have at it, because they're just, I can't say enough about it. I just feel very lucky.
Let me ask you this. What have you learned from years and years of playing golf that you can transfer over to the business world?
You know, that's a good question. I think it's, you hear the same old stuff, but there's some truth to, you know, when you make a double bogey, you got to, you know, move forward and forget about it. And I'm sure I've made plenty of double bogeys on the golf course as well as with the business, but you got to move forward. As they say, try to stay in the moment. There's going to be ups and downs, as there are in golf, there are in life and business. So you just, if you staying true to who you are, and also what our goal is and what our target is in terms of what and who the Johnny O brand is. And we really stay true to that. So golf is a great game for life, as we know.
I love it. I just love everything you learn on the golf course that you can bring to your life and vice versa, right? You really get to, and plus you get to know a lot about a person when you're playing golf with that person, right? So I don't know if you play golf with somebody before you hire them, but maybe that has been the case.
I think 4 hours on the golf course with someone is quite possibly the best opportunity for an interview. And you don't even have to talk business, but you can really gauge a person's personality and how they react to, screwing something up and how they move forward. And, it's it's, yeah, I've spent plenty of time kind of getting to know people work-wise on the golf course and,
right.
and
do what they kind lay of personality up? You're going
to. Yeah.
Do they go for it?
Yeah.
Are they
still
sportsmen?
Bright? Yeah, are they still bright and cheery after they make a triple bogey, or do they go into their little, you know, their little hole for a few holes? And yeah, it tells a lot about a person's character.
You really learn a lot about somebody playing golf. And I know a lot of presidents and founders of companies that won't even hire somebody until they play a round of golf with that person so that they can really get to know that person.
Yeah, I, you know, I haven't put people through that, but I leave a lot of the hiring now up to, you know, the people running the show. But I get a look and I get a conversation with our hires, and just, I want to make sure people fit the culture. That's what's really important to me. I can't talk to a potential CFO and how qualified he is. That's just not my world, or an e-commerce expert, whatever it might be. But I can get a pretty good feel for someone, their personality, and hopefully their character traits and things like that, to make sure that they do fit into the culture, and to let them know what kind of people we're looking for on a more personal level.
Best golf trip you've ever been on, what would you say it is?
You know, I for the first time in my life, all of us, I went to Ireland. It was probably 4 years ago, and it was with that whole crew of nephews and brother-in-laws and brothers. And, you know, that would probably be the best, just because it was to go to Ireland. I'd been wanting to go for so long, and it took me over 50 years to get there. So the golf was great. I was lucky to have a hole in one out at Royal Port Rush. And the beauty of that was that I was with two of my nephews and a brother-in-law of mine. And one of my nephews, it's funny, we still laugh about it, because he didn't play a lot of golf up until then. And I knocked it in the hole, and he thought, my God, does this always happen, Johnny? I said, oh, yeah, you know, every couple of weeks.
A hole in one at Royal Port Rush. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
What you a know, great
we
memory.
We all get lucky.
What was the yard? Which hole was it? And what was the yard?
I think it's like number two or three out there. And it was funny, because it was the year, but the summer before the British Open out there. And I remember walking off the green saying to my brother-in-law, boy, I bet I could sell this about a year from now for some pretty good money.
Unbelievable. What club did you use?
I think it was an 8-iron.
All right.
It was an 8-iron. Yeah, you know, and it was, we didn't see it go in, but you know.
How long was the hole?
Well, I'd love to tell you it was about 185 yards into the wind, but as I recall, it was only about a buck 35, but it was into the wind.
Yeah.
I may have caught it a little thin end, but you know what? It went in. So,
hey, it went in the cup, which That's is right. wonderful. Well, good for you. What a great memory. And
yeah,
Johnny O Apparel has stores now all over the country, right? I know I've read you have one in Newport, Rhode Island, Fort Worth, Texas, Scottsdale, Arizona, and one in Florida as well.
Yeah, we've got some great partners. You know, we sell at a lot of, you know, we have a lot of wholesale account partners that we sell in their actual stores. But we have some new partners and existing partners that have kind of taken on their own Johnny O shops. And knock on wood, they've been doing great. It's, you know, Scottsdale and Fort Worth and Newport, Rhode Island, and somewhere down in Florida. I'm embarrassed to say I can't remember. And exciting. We've got a new one, the new one in Newport Beach, California, out here, Fashion Island. We've got a grand opening happening on September 22nd. And I'm really excited to see how that shop performs. So it's fun for people to see the brand come alive at the store level.
Well, it sounds like it's just doing extremely well in a relatively short period of time. And it's just such a pleasure to know you, John. I know you and I met, I think it was the Lexus Challenge.
Yes.
We were playing, what, PGA La Quinta, was it?
Yeah, it was a Champions Tour player was paired up with a celebrity. And unfortunately, I was not the celebrity, but my brother Chris at the time was. And it was an amazing event. And Ray Floyd hosted it. And it was probably went on for about 4 years. And that was an amazing experience, because Nicholas Palmer, player, Trevino, Floyd, they were all there. And I was blown away.
I still have that poster in my golf bathroom in the house in
that's
the Hamptons.
Funny.
And it was a special, special tournament. And that's when I met Chris. I think I met you guys on the golf course, and I ended up interviewing Chris And we kind of go back a long way. So again, it's so great to see how this brand has just grown by leaps and bounds and continued success, John.
Thank you, Anne.
When are you going to start making apparel for women?
You know what? Very, very relevant question. Stay tuned. I'll leave it at that. But we are taking a real, real close look at that as we speak. So I hope we get something going because it's the number one request that we constantly hear. But we just want to make sure if we do it right. So
exciting future. John O'Donnell, founder of Johnny O Apparel. Thanks so much for being on Talking Golf.
Thank you, Ann.
Well, that was a little departure from, you know, what we normally talk about, but it was interesting to reconnect with John O'Donnell, brothers with Chris O'Donnell, the actor, both very good golfers. All right, we're going to shift gears. Final round action at the Women's Open Championship at Muirfield is going on right now. They're already playing. And when we come back, Beth Ann Nichols, who's a senior golf writer for Golf Week USA Today, she will join us. And also, the big question, will LIV Golf go after the women's game like they have the men's? We'll get Beth Ann's take on that as well. But first, let me tell you that as the brand ambassador for Ivy Cool, I can attest to the high-quality, performance-driven leisure apparel line that is perfect to wear on and off the course. Not only does the moisture sensor fabric keep me cool on the links, Ivy Cool garments also feature UPF 50 plus sun protection. All this plus a wide variety of colorful and stylish silhouettes in tops, shorts, pants, skorts, and dresses. And men can choose from many styles as well. Look your best, protect your skin, IBKUL.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf. Hope you're having a great morning so far. Maybe you're heading to the links. Looks like it's going to be a gorgeous day. Well, it is my pleasure to say good morning to Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer of Golf Week USA Today, the president of the Golf Writers Association of America. Beth Ann, thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning. Well, I'm ready for the final round of the Women's British.
I know, which is going on right now, right? Playing at Muirfield. Huge.
Yes. An historic week for women's sports, really, when you think about it, when you look at the history of Muirfield and how long it took and what it took for females to finally become members.
I know, right? They, as recently as 2017, women weren't even allowed to be members of the club. So, you know, it's great to see the RNA sticking up for women and insisting that any open championship venue must allow female members. That was huge.
100%. And you know, it was interesting too. Yesterday was the first time that a female member of Muirfield was actually playing golf during a Women's British Open as a marker out in the first group, because there was an odd number of players who made the cut. So, it's been a week of firsts.
A week of first. It's great to see them. I've been to Scotland several times. I've never played Muirfield, but I'd like to. And I know also, Beth Ann, they're playing for a record purse, $7.8 million. Is that what I read? It's up from last year's $5.8 million. So they're playing for more and more money. Every time I turn around, the prize money is getting, you know, better.
Absolutely. It's a 26% increase over last year. And when you look at how much it's changed, you know, well over 100% since AIG became title sponsor about 4 years ago, it's been, it's just completely, you know, remodeled that entire championship, not only in terms of how much they're playing for, but where they're playing, going to, you know, all the best courses on the men's Open Rota. So it's wonderful to see.
And I guess the question right now is, can anyone catch Ashley Buhai? The 33-year-old South African leads by 5 shots. What do you think?
It's been an absolutely magical week for Ashley. I mean, you know, everything's been going right for her. Although I will say she was in 3 divots yesterday, and you wouldn't know it with her third round 64. But you know, she's had an incredible week, and it makes you wonder, can it continue for one more round? Because, you know, her putter, her ball striking, everything's been spectacular. So, and she's got a host of major champions in hot pursuit, and low numbers are clearly out there, even in strong wind, as we saw yesterday. So, you know, I think, you know, Ashley's never won on the LPGA, so it's going to feel a lot different today than it did yesterday.
Yeah, and she's been around. I mean, she's 33. I think I read this is over her 200th start. And as you say, she showed a lot of poise. I mean, 35-mile-an-hour winds, her ball lands in some unlucky spots, right? But yet she was as steady as can be. But today's a whole different story. And Sabuno, she's tied with Injie Chun. They're five shots back. And weren't Buhai and Sabuno, weren't they in the final pairing like a couple years ago?
At Woburn, Ashley Buhai, you know, led at the halfway mark and found herself in a similar position. Ultimately, wasn't in the mix down the stretch, though. So, you know, it is a very different scenario. What's interesting, though, is that two South Africans have won at Muirfield before, and Gary Player, who sent her a voice message yesterday, and Ernie Els, who's her childhood hero, who she plays golf with now that she's got a residence in Florida, you know, to prepare for the season, and has become a friend, even takes the money off of him. So, so it's a fun connection. And that's what makes, you know, it's so important for the women to be playing at these courses, because you can make the comparisons and the connections, and the women can become part of that history too.
And I read where Sally Little of South Africa was, I think, the only other woman, or the only woman, to win a major, and she won back in 1980. That was before your time, but but Malin Sangstrom, I'm impressed with her game. She's been in the mix, and you know, all year it seems like, and I know, you know, she's just come so close, and Enby Park is there. They're at 7-under. I don't know if they're going to, you know, obviously make up that much ground, but it's been good to see Malin Sangstrom playing so well this year.
100%. Yeah, that 7 strokes is the record for the biggest comeback in LPGA major championship history. It's happened 3 times. Most recently, Minji Lee at the Evian last year, and Madeline last year at Carnoustie bogeyed the last hole to lose to Anna Nordqvist. So, you know, I know she's still thinking about that, and she said earlier this week that she really only started to like links golf and fully appreciate it last year. She said it was hate at first sight. back in her amateur days, which is kind of funny, but yeah, Madeline hits the ball a really long way. She's a beautiful power player, wonderful head on her shoulders. She's of course, she's already won once on the LPGA, and seems to be, you know, she keeps putting herself in these positions.
And to have Annika as her mentor isn't bad, right?
Right. They were partners together recently at the Dow, and they both live in Orlando, and I'm sure Annika sent her a note or two this week.
So I wonder, did Jessica Korda ever get her luggage? I mean, that's a huge problem when you're traveling over there now, because I was there a couple weeks ago. I went to Scotland, and it was not a direct flight, and my golf bag did not arrive until like the day before I left, and then there was another person on the trip didn't get either bags, and there was another person on the trip that their luggage came like a month later. I mean, it's just been crazy, and it's upsetting. I can't imagine. I know Jessica, what is she? She's tied for 36th at even par, but you know, I wonder if her luggage ever made it, because that's, you know, when you're playing a major championship and you don't have your own clothes and everything, that can be disconcerting, don't you think?
Oh, 100%. And I don't know as of today what the latest update is, but luckily she had her golf clubs, but you know, and she said it's not just, you know, clothes. She's borrowing clothes from everyone, but also, you know, her vitamins, all the stuff for, you know, chilly weather to keep her warm, or, you know, just all the little extra things that you know exactly how it works for you.
Yeah, I mean,
especially during a major.
Yeah, I keep my rain gear. You know, I keep my rain gear in my bag, and you know, you get the gloves, and you have to buy everything. when your bags don't show up. And it's just especially, well, thank God she had her golf clubs. But so now, Beth Ann, Lexi Thompson, she did not make the cut. And I'm wondering, I know she had a really heartbreaking loss at the KPMG, the women's PGA. What do you think about Lexi? Do you think she can come back, or is it still kind of a bit of a fallout from that disappointing loss there?
Yeah, she didn't just miss the cut. She missed it by a mile. I think Lexi Thompson is certainly one of the most resilient players that you'll ever find. You know, she's bounced back so many times, but you have to wonder, you know, is the scar tissue becoming a bit too much? You know, it just seemingly is one heartbreak after another, and it's been so long since she's hoisted a trophy on the LPGA. You know, I definitely think that this last one stung pretty hard. No, there's no question about it. That's not to say she can't win again or won't win again. I definitely think she will. Will she win a major? I'm starting to question that.
Yeah. And then they find that final pairing for slow play, which I thought was not good. With what, two holes to play, that was unnecessary. But talk about, you know, just that's an insult, right? But I don't know. I always have liked Lexi Thompson, and I hope she can, you know, get out there and win again. And I do want to shift to LIV Golf and ask your opinion about it, because I know that the LPGA commissioner recently said that she would take the phone call from LIV Golf if they called. And I'm wondering if Greg Norman or anybody from LIV Golf has reached out to the LPGA?
Well, I talked to the commissioner last week, and at that point they had not reached out. I'd asked her that directly, but I definitely think that it's wise for her to take that call, because the LPGA is in such a vastly different position than the PGA Tour in terms of the amount of resources that they could throw at this kind of situation and also the sheer depth of the tour and the depth of the number of stars is different. So, you know, if you take 48 players away from the LPGA, 48 top players, that's not just a Band-Aid. That's a tidal wave.
That's right.
Really going to be tough to recover from. So I think she's wise to take that call, and that's what the players want.
Yeah. I mean, you wonder if they're even going to, if LIV Golf is even going to start going after some of the female players. And I read where Laura Davies said that she is not uncomfortable with where the money comes from. Stacey Lewis said that if they can figure out a way to work with the Saudis and make people's lives better, she's in favor of it. So I think these women would take the money immediately if they had the opportunity. What's your opinion about that?
Yeah, I think there are several scenarios at play here. You know, if LIV wants to have a model tour that's exactly like what they are setting up for the men, then and throwing any kind of money, even a fraction of the amount of money that they're throwing at the men, I think most LPGA players would go. And so then you have the question of, you know, how can the LPGA keep that from happening, and what can they do, and what will their sponsors, you know, other sponsors think about suddenly, you know, the government of Saudi Arabia becoming potentially the biggest backer in women's golf? You know, these are important questions, but you know, at the end of the day, the LPGA is not going to be the one with the leverage, because the players, by and large, want the money.
That's right. 9 out of 10 would go. Whether they're the women or the men, right? I mean, I think the money is just too good to pass up, no matter, you know, where the money is coming from. But how do you see the LIV Golf versus PGA Tour lawsuit unfolding? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh my gosh, I'm not a lawyer, and it's over my head to see, you know, who comes out on top, honestly. But when, you know, to hear everybody talk about how long it's going to take, you know, what the experts say about how many years this could drag on, you know, it's an advantage for the women that the men get to go first. you know, I think another interesting thing to keep in mind is that we've heard the men talk a lot about playing less and spending more time with their families, and that's one of the reasons why they wanted to do that. And, you know, a lot of people roll their eyes, and of course now they want to play on both tours. But for the women, that's a legit thing. When you look at these women, so many want to have a family and want to stop playing golf in order to do that, or especially when their children get into school, that's typically when they stop playing full time. If they do keep playing, you know, if you were to say, hey, you know, you could play for, you know, X amount of money for the next 5 years and retire and never have to worry about working again to start your family, that is a game changer for a lot of women. And so, those are legit reasons that they would look at taking the money. So, you know, it's certainly a very complicated situation. And I do know there are players on tour who are concerned about where the money's coming from, who don't like the way women are treated in Saudi Arabia, and don't want the LPGA to become strong partners. So, but they're a minority.
Beth, it's always a pleasure. I wish we could keep going. We're out of time, but thank you so much for your insight. Love your work and continued success. We'll get you on again real soon, I hope.
Thank you so much. Have a great morning.
You too. My thanks to Beth Ann Nichols, to John O'Donnell, to Brian Roscona in the studio. Hope you enjoyed the clip of Wilt Chamberlain and all those clips of Vin Scully. And Talking Golf with Ann LaGoria is brought to you by IBCOL Luxury Athleisure Apparel for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive Iceville cooling technology along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Visit IBKUL.com to learn more. Stay tuned for Rick Wolf and the Sports Edge, and I look forward to talking to you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Ann LaGoria.